this and that we are going to terminate this part of our meetings this night. Allocate 2 minutes to the speaker. These should be items not on our agenda. Okay, 2 minutes for the speaker. First speaker is Richard Damon.
He left.
He left a letter, which I...
Can I read it? No, I didn't say that. Okay. All right. Hank Kierton?
He also left, and he has a letter.
Okay. And I think we could just be reading that at our leisure. Barbara Carleen?
They were together, and that's the letter.
Okay. Brian Foss.
This is going on.
He's left.
He's left, okay. Where? Okay.
I see that. Thank you very much. We've been under a hydrogen sulfide, I think it's a pretty hot issue, maybe the hottest one. We have been under a permit from the Air Board. We've operated 2 years with that permit. I've got a score sheet up there. The first year we complied 100% with that protocol. That was our intention. We had every hope of being 100% this year. Unfortunately, we had about 3.5 hours in which we had exceedances of the hydrogen sulfide protocol, or the I guess our standards. In any case, that was disappointing to us. It's we consider it a breakdown in management, and we are geared up to be 100% compliant next year. We finished for this year. And so we make that promise, whatever the Air Board and the Port District decide, we will be 100% compliant with that. We ran into some technical difficulties this year that weren't dealt with. In regard to being onshore and offshore, we have two disposal systems. One's onshore and one's offshore. Offshore mitigates hydrogen sulfide. We have had a pretty good record. In 2003, we were 75% offshore. Last year, 90%. We had hoped to be out there this year. That was our goal. We only made 62%. We have technological challenges of holding the pipe through the surf zone. Next year, our goal is still 90%. If you look at this picture here, if you can see it, we are the only people that we know of who have a sand median pumped through a heavy pipe in the surf of an ocean environment. And to hold that pipe and have it operational and survivable has given us challenge. And this year was more challenging than last year. And we're dedicated to advancing that technology. We're pioneering. And it's something we're working on. In regard to whether we dredge on the beach or not, there's good reasons to be on the beach. There's good sand. Our preference is to be offshore, but sometimes you have to come onshore to replenish the beach. That's all we want to do. The state parks wants our sand. The Coastal Commission says any sand that doesn't smell should go on the beach, and so we're a little bit conflicted there. Again, personally, life is better for our neighbors, for us, if we're offshore, and that's our intention.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Foss? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to Richard Dubois.
Any questions?
And then I think this is like Martha Lynn, but I can't really tell.
It is.
It is.
Hello, my name is Richard DeVore. I came to you last year with about 8 other residents and beachgoers and an engineer concerned with the hydrogen sulfides and the other emissions coming out of the pipe at the Santa Cruz Harbor's disposal site, which is at Twin Lakes Beach. I own two homes along that area, and both of them I've been unable to live in my house now for the last 2 years. It's predominantly beach houses. along there. Next door to me, we've had three people that have had the same symptoms as the people behind me, and as I have had, the physical effects probably are all similar, and they're with about eight people. Two people that have had testing with the number one hydrogen sulfide doctor in the country, and been diagnosed with hydrogen sulfide poisoning. We have heard every year now, I think since 1995, when it was declared a public nuisance, the airport mandated that the pipe go offshore. The Port District was good in doing that in 97, but it's been a cat and mouse game of whether it's going to be emitting hydrogen sulfide or not when it's offshore. So it's been about 10 years now, I think, and each year we hear we're going to do new engineering, we're going to get the pipe further offshore. And if we add up all those letters, we'd be probably halfway across the Monterey by now. But in reality, I gave Chris a copy of some photographs, and it shows where that pipe is. And many times it's from here to that wall, right in the surf zone where kids are, where people are surfing, where people are playing. It's not maybe just the hydrogen sulfides, that's all they're testing for. But unfortunately, there's other people that wanted to come and speak, and it's gotten late. All I can say is I really appreciate it if the pipes could be mandated offshore. The Air Board, it sounds like, is going to do that. They need some backup. If it can just get offshore, if they can go down the beach and go offshore, a school kid could figure that out and get them offshore for both the upper harbor and the lower harbor. Each year, right after the upper harbor is dredged, tons of play balls come in. A lot of them are very small, on towels and on your feet. In February of this year and last year, we had surfers with black goo that stuck in their hair that would cut out. We haven't seen that now for about 6-7 years, but it's pretty bad for recreational waters. But there's two different attorneys that approached me about a taking case. That's being active with a couple of property owners. We have several letters that have come to you that were copies of what went to the water, the Air Board. This is a very serious situation. I think it's going to be found that the hydrogen sulfide is doing neurological damage, and I have some impairments myself, and that I attribute to that. And I think that that's enough.
Wrapped up.
It's pretty much wrapped up. I hope the staff hears that and can do something with it. Last but not least, in some of the writings too, they talked about these clay balls that they don't know where they come from. Maybe the river. We have several fishes in coming out of the pipes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark, go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say that you all should serve water. It's water board, but anyway. Basically, I would just like to reiterate what Richard said. I live across the street from the dredge. I've lived there for 12 or 13 years. This is the first year that I've actually been home the entire winter, where I haven't just walked in my house at 6 o'clock and been overcome by horrible odors and burning eyes. This winter I've been home working, and it's a terrible situation to get up every day and wonder what the day is going to be like based on where they're dredging, where they're disposing, on the beach, or if they're dredging the upper harbor and they aren't deep enough in the water off the beach. On a daily basis, my eyes begin to burn. I develop a headache. I become nauseated. I experience a loss of balance. I have been in contact with the expert that Richard referred to. At USC, who's a professor of medicine down there, Kate Hilborn, and he recommended that I move immediately. That was his first response to my email, that people can't survive any kind of long-term, even low-level exposure to hydrogen sulfides. So, and again, when we've had these meetings locally, I've invited, and I would invite any of you all, to at least come down to the beach and spend a few days and see what goes on. And I guarantee you, when you see a small child picking up play balls, playing in sewage disposal, their parents completely unaware of the risk that their child is being put through, that you would start to get the picture. It's not only visually very disturbing, it's physically disturbing as a resident. And people should not have to leave their homes and go park somewhere for 2 or 3 hours during the day to avoid the exposure. And then I have to call down to the harbor and ask Brian when they're going to stop and see when I can come home. People shouldn't have to live that way. So I'd appreciate it if you all would address it, and maybe next week I'll come down and see what's going on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any speakers?
Your name, sir? Well, 7 minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Mendez. Please come up.
Anyone else who wishes to address us this evening?
Chairman Young, members of the board, staff, public at large. My name is Jose Mendez. I'm a cement mason by trade. Been a cement mason for approximately 33 years, 17 years old. Anyway, I want to introduce, or make a small presentation on pervious concrete. It's a product, fairly new product. It's been around for approximately a little over 20 years. And certain municipalities in this country, some municipalities in Harry Mays, some municipalities over in Lake Okeechobee, and then some municipalities here in Lake Tahoe has adopted this type of product and implemented it into their construction pre-quad for any new construction. Anyway, I'd just like to read you what pervious concrete is. Pervious concrete is a poreless concrete paving material. It usually consists of a mixture of 3/8 inch in diameter and aggregates, hydraulic cement, other cementitious materials, admixtures, and water. What this product does is just allows rain and storm water runoff to percolate through it, rather than flood surrounding areas or storm drains. Some of the uses right now for pervious concrete are sidewalk, driveways, golf carts, pads, retaining walls, curb and gutter, and so on. The benefits is to reduce storm water runoff. It eliminates the need for detention ponds and other costly stormwater management practices. It replenishes the water table and aquifers. I got some brochures here that I want to pass out. And once again, my name is Jose Mendez. You can call me anytime. And I have an instructor up in Pleasanton that's currently teaching our masons about this new product, and also educating the contractors that do concrete work.
Mr. Mendez, when our board was out in Santa Barbara last October, we had a presentation by a landscape contractor who put pervious concrete in his driveway, and he gave us a nice demonstration. we're pretty aware of it. We support the use of that. I would encourage you to work with your local municipalities and encourage them to be allowing that type of hardscape to be installed. We're very supportive of it.
Okay.
But we think it's something that should be used as much as possible.
Okay.
We'd like to figure out how we could maybe mandate its use. But you know, in the meantime, people need to get to their city councils and board of supervisors and really encourage it.
I'm not much of a public speaker. You know, I just happened to see that in this newspaper, and it said 1:30, and I did show up at 1:30. You know, but I will tell my boss for him to come next time. But would you like for me to leave?
Sure. Yeah, more interested in it.
In fact, the experience we had from Santa Barbara is that the building department almost wouldn't allow it because it's different.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Can I ask just a quick question about that? How difficult is it to use?
It's not difficult at all. All you have to do is prepare your subway.
Mm-hmm.
And the base is obviously going to be different than what you put on right now on the concrete that we use now. Typically, the base has to be at least about a foot thick, and the aggregates are different than what is used now for regular concrete. But it's not difficult at all. Like I said, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and it's just a different application. It's not different. It's not difficult at all.
Thank you. Have you installed any around here?
The closest one here is, with the exception of a few custom homes, but as far as big public works projects and all that, the closest one would be Tahoe. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they want to keep the lake blue.
But there have been some individual homes that have been done?
Over the Big Sur area.
Big Sur.
Yes.
And how about rebar? Can you still put rebar?
No.
You don't need to.
No, we need to.
Mm.
Not on previous concrete. No.
Well, I mean, the question is, like, where I live, we have a lot of adobe soil, which is very expensive. And if we don't have steel in regular concrete slab, it is going to crack.
The reason
is coming.
I'm sorry to
say. Go ahead.
This is meant for lightweight, light traffic. That's the reason why rebar is not necessary. It's not meant for structural or whatever. It's just light traffic, a driveway, once again, sidewalks.
Can you use rebar if you want?
I haven't seen it done. I don't want to say yes or no, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else in the public wanted to address this?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Rick. John Ricker hasn't jumped up to speak, but he was very kind to volunteer to come and answer any questions, of course, regarding the Santa Cruz Harbor issue. We got a little off the track of that subject, and I did want to get back to that and say that we are coordinating with the air district. And as far as the controls and the conditions that they have on the harbor district, as far as the disposal of the dredged spoils to try to minimize the hazardous salt, John Richter's county health lab, the environmental health lab, tested the metals and also some organic fragments in the clay balls and found close to background concentrations in those clay balls, or that's the word. John, correct me if I'm mistaken.
We just tested metals. We didn't test any organics in the clay balls.
And it was close to the background
concentration? Yes, it was.
So it's a tough situation, and obviously for those folks who feel that they're suffering health effects from this operation, that's very bad situation, and I know the district has tried to go offshore as much as possible. do see it primarily as an air district issue, because we're talking, and a health issue, because we're talking about air emissions. We do have the nuisance angle, but in terms of direct health impacts, it's mostly a air district and a health issue. But we are trying to coordinate all the agencies, and I know it's frustrating for you folks to feel that you're getting harmed by that, but we are trying to coordinate to minimize those problems and actually eliminate the problems associated with the building.
Mr. Briggs, what's the size of our CEO with the discharge points?
We had conditions on the 401 certification, 401 waterfall certification. Yeah. So we had specific conditions. And remember, there was the rectangle, and then discharge within the rectangle. Let's see. So it's just a matter of defining the conditions in the 401 certification.
My tongue's still bleeding from
fighting
the bullet.
Fighting your guns.
Well, any question I have is when is dinner?
Yeah. All right, well, we will reconvene in the morning at 8:30.